Saturday, Wednesday, we studied the case number 58 of the book of record. And this comment type that is a story which I'm afraid people will misunderstand this story. So I would like to say about this this morning. The case of number 58 is talking about the practice in the realm of the absolute. absolute means when you really devote yourself to do something. You can really be present in the absolute means complete beyond whether you are conscious or whether you are not conscious. This is absolute. That is called samadhi or full devotion or full aliveness. Full aliveness of daily life. Technical term is called nirvana. well, here it is that the case says the ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid picking and choosing. This is the topic of this case, but I don't want to explain this one today. this morning, so I would like to read first the story. Haven't you heard how when the man of the past son of Tao Tzu was describing Sudo's community, Sudo's Sangha. Sudo had him immerse himself in. The ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid picking and choosing. The ultimate path has no difficulties, it's exactly from moment to moment, your life is just going smoothly, in peace, in harmony, before you're conscious of it or not. That is called full devotion, I told you before. Full devotion, or samadhi, etc. So, in the realm of full devotion, if you really alive, if you live there, all the other two aspects can be seen. One is discrimination, the other one is equality. Equality. So right in the middle of discrimination, you can be one. But if you say, I experience oneness by full devotion, that oneness is present in the discrimination. So you have to be careful a little bit, your life. Because if I say oneness or equality, people attach to the oneness. ignoring the discrimination in the oneness. So that is called sickness. We say sickness. So always we need the turning word. Buddhism is the turning word to awaken. Like turning words means, if you emphasize the quality, turning words to awaken you is discrimination. The discrimination there, and then devotion there. Full devotion there. If you have full devotion, there is a discrimination. So that is always total picture of reality you live. The boss always working together from day to day. If you swim in the ocean with a full devotion, there is no discrimination. Your body, your water, no discrimination. Just going. But there is a discrimination. Water is water. Your body is your body. But right in the middle of discrimination, there is no discrimination, because that is the one. Your body, your water become one. That is called swing. It says swing. So that is the called ultimate path. Of ultimate path has no difficulties. So, the Sudol, anyway, had him immerse himself in this course. The ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid picking and choosing. Thereby, Chun had awakened one day. Sudol asked him, what is the meaning of the ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid the picking and choosing. Chun said, I know. He screamed, I know. It doesn't mean anything. No meaning, okay? Don't be confused. Just I know, he said, I know. Because the no difficulty, ultimate path has no difficulty, avoiding and choosing and picking, it doesn't make sense for human life, because we are already living right in the middle of choosing and picking. So even though we say absolute, even though absolute exists, it's far from us. It doesn't make sense. So she said, just to say something, I know, it means just a voice, just a word coming up. In other words, inexplainable. It's pretty difficult to say what is the absolute, what is the full devotion. If you have a full devotion right in the middle of swimming, you cannot explain. If you really devote yourself to that at the stage, there is no depth, no word to explain. What is the devotion? What is the samadhi? You cannot say anything. It's pretty difficult. But it's working there. Your body and dance and the stage, the audience, all work together at the stage, from day to day, from moment to moment. It's working. It's working means something exists there. But if you try to explain, it's very difficult to say. That's why nothing to say. So, that's why Chun says, I know, means no meaning, anyway, no meaning. Later, he dwelt in seclusion on the Mount Totu. means he withdrew
From human world, discrimination is left in the absolute, dwelling in the absolute, full devotion, anyway, in other words, okay? So that means he says later he dwells in seclusion on Mount Totsu. Whenever he went to serve as an abbot, he wrapped his straw sandals and his scriptural texts in his robe. A monk asked him, "What is your family style? What is your lifestyle? What is the lifestyle and what is the full devotion for your life? What is the samadhi? He says, Tung said, the straw sandal wrapped in rope means I cannot say anything. So look at me. So that at that time, he has the rope, with the sandal wrapped by. So he's just to say, look at me. And also a monk asked him, what is your family style? The way of Vera, so he said, straw sandal wrapped in a robe. The monk said, what does this mean? So he said, Tung Chen, the neighboring city. Tung Chen is under my bare feet, means he is going to that city with barefoot. Barefoot means he explains the absolute or full devotions or his lifestyle, etc. Without explaining in the word, he suggested that person to look at reality of his life, which is going day by day. Okay? So, that means in the full devotion, that means completely equal. Okay? Full devotion, equal. At that time, there is no discrimination, no sense of discrimination. Water, your body, and your mind, your breath. Anyway, whole things working together before you discriminate. Okay? So, at that time, raw sandals, straw sandals, and the mars, you know, whatever. It's not necessary to know where the sandal should be, or how the robe should be used. It doesn't matter. Inequality, everything is equal. So from this point, there is no discrimination. Okay? So that's why he just wrapped his sandals, straw sandals, with his robe, anyway. He's always showing the absolute and the samadhis or full devotions, which is going day by day. In other words, showing swimming itself, swimming in motion itself, always. So, no discrimination. So look at swimming itself, swimming in motion itself. So in this case, there is no discrimination. So whatever you do, that's fine. Okay? Whatever you do, it's fine. Rope, it's not necessary to attach to rope. Straw sandal, it doesn't matter. Straw sandal. But be careful if you understand that in that way, ignoring the discrimination, okay? That time you fall into the, what would you say, sickness. You become sick. Spiritual sick. If you are a very serious person spiritually, you really seek for, what would you say, the world beyond human world, discriminated world, anyway. And then if you experience, you exactly attach to it. But if you attach to it, that is called sickness, because that sickness causes you to be in the air, not grounded. Completely, you are spaced out. So your daily life doesn't work exactly in the same way as other people do, or in the same way the trees, birds exist. No. You always expected something wonderful. That is called sickness. Okay? And then I say, please come back to human world, and then you say, Buddhism or spiritual life is nothing but the daily life. So you come back to the daily life. But if you do that, people are really attached to the everyday life, ignoring the spiritual life. So that is also sick. So always sickness there. Because the total panorama picture of the reality you live in is not a certain stage you can discriminate, you can dichotomize. It's always working together. So it's very difficult to say. But teaching is important, but teaching is always explained just one aspect. Or the two aspects with one piece of paper with two aspects, logically. So it's very easy for us to attach either one of them. So, this is the so-called human sickness, human problem, by what we create the lots of problems. Human problem. That's why we have to keep your eyes open constantly how to live. Right in the middle of reality, which is going, so-called full devotion. How do you take care of your life with full devotion? Or samadhi, or peace, or harmony, whatever you say. So for this, always you realize two things, always peace, not peace. Discriminate everyday life and not something more than everyday life, spiritual life. So always. And then if you see one, you really grasp it. That, at that time you become sick. In order to be free from sickness, you need turning the world to awaken. So that is another Buddhist teaching. So Buddhist teaching always gives you advice. Where are you? Where are you? Always questions. Then a different word is given to you. For instance, there is a coin of the over-present master bowed to the Buddha. And at that time, monk asked, the sutra says, you shouldn't expect any reward from the Buddha down the Sangha. Why do you bow to Buddha? Why do you prostrate Buddha? So, Obok says, I don't expect any reward from Buddha Dhamma Sangha. But monk says, you bow now, that means you expect something from the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. He says, no, I don't. I don't expect anything at all, but I just bow. Just like that. So he bows. Means you know, he always accepts the Buddha Dhamma Sangha or object to worship not as an object. Buddha is himself. So there is, he has complete equality. So at that time he doesn't expect any reward. By practice of bowing, do you expect something? No, he doesn't. So just bow. Just bow. But when you bow, that is, bow is one of the dualistic worlds. You can manifest yourself. So called washing your face, having breakfast in the same thing. Shaking hands and greeting each other, same thing. So when you bow, you already live in a dualistic world, a discriminating world. So if you live in a discriminating world, there is always subject and circumstances. And then if you try to become one with the circumstances in the human action, then naturally there is a purpose and the rewards and all the something pros and cons, success, failures, obviously. Okay? So he bows, that's why the monk says, if you bow, you already expect something. Means, over the Zen master, bow, showing the respect, and he takes a bow in the position of a form. Okay? At that time he left, it means that he left in the dualistic world. Okay? If you live in the dualistic world, you expect something. So there is a discrimination. But on the other hand, he doesn't expect anything. So equality is there. So finally he says, I just bow like this. That's it. This is so-called undefiled practice, anyway, full devotion, etc. So, I just bow like this means I bow, just like this means without the formal bow, you cannot manifest equality. You don't have any chance to manifest equality, or peace, or harmony, or devotion, full devotion, or Buddhas or whatever. Without form, without discriminated mating world, you can't have any chance to manifest it. That's why you have to get up in the morning, that is, there is a form. When you have a meal, there is a form. So, you have to have a form, but the question is, how do you use a form? Just as a form, or you should use a form and create something more than form. So if you just take care of a form, as a form in a common sense, you obviously expect something. But this is all right because you live there and you take something in the possession of a form, because without this you cannot have any chance to manifest your life. So that is important. But an important point is using that form as an asset. How do you use assets? Well, how do you use? For you, or for all sentient beings, for peace, or for satisfaction of your own life, that's it. So in a small scale or big scale, that depends on you. So that's why Obaku Zen Master, anyway, just says, finally, I just bow. Means, when the morning comes, get up. When the zazen time comes, just do zazen. But through this form of zazen, you have to manifest you, but something more than you. Okay? That is called equality and peace, harmony. You have to manifest that. Complete beyond whether you satisfy yourself or not. Anyway, whether you expect the reward or not, you have to use your form and that manifest yourself and something more than you. That is a peace, harmony, devotion, etc. Nirvana. So, strictly speaking, if you do gassho, this is a form. Through this form, this chance opportunity is wonderful because you can manifest your small yourself, but simultaneously there is a big, big self there. That is peace, harmony, you can manifest. That is equality or peace. So, from this point, in the realm of equality, whatever you do, it's fine. Okay? But on the other hand, you can always live in enlightenment or in full devotion, always, okay? Because you have a mind discriminating. So your mind must be clear. Okay? So very naturally, that's why your mind is clear, your mind is constantly working. Even right in the middle of dancing, your mind is working, decolonizing, criticizing, looking at your dance. Even though you really believe that you are dancing towards, but still mind is always picking. So that means your mind is constantly working. So you cannot make your mind blind. So if you live always in the full devotion equality, your mind becomes, your mind becomes blind. So very naturally, your mind have to be in the samadhi and equality, but with your clear mind. For this, we have to live in the dualistic world, discriminating world. That is a what? Using the form, the show, getting up in the morning, greeting. And that form and teaching, whatever. You have to live there constantly. But you cannot become sick right in the middle of form. So you have to be free from the sickness of the form. For this, you have to manifest yourself through the form something more than yourself. That is equality. Because the all sentient beings, 20 people, 30 people, has to live in peace, in harmony, wherever you may be, because everyone lives in equality. But even though peaceful equality is wonderful for you, you cannot dwell and you cannot live in the equality always. Because everyone has a different personality, different characters, and manifesting in a different themselves in a different way from moment to moment. And also around you, there are many different things there. Robes, straw sandals, and etc. So, when you see the straw sandal, you have to see the straw sandal and deal with it as it is, not mixed up. But from these stories, it seems to be mixed up. Robe is robe, but he has always in the realm of the equality, so he wraps in the straw sandal or whatever it is with a robe. But it's wonderful, but in other words, in a sense, it's not wonderful because he ignores a dualistic world. So you have to take your dualistic discriminating world anyway. But in this story, it appears in this case mentioned about the ultimate path of no difficulty. That's why he mentioned this story comes here. But don't misunderstand this one. You know, if you attain enlightenment, it doesn't matter. Okay? Human world, I don't care. Human money, I don't care money. Or clothes, I don't care the clothes. Oh, it's in a sense it's true, but in a sense it's not true because you live already in the money, in the world of the money. You already live in the clothing. You live in the already the housing. So you cannot ignore this. So, rob is law. You have to live with a rob, as it is. How do you take care of rob? Not mixed up. You should deal with the rob as it is, which is different from the short sandal and your boots. That is monastic life, okay? When you do get short, just do get short, okay? The next microphone comes, and then you should deal with the microphone as it is, not mixed up with the gesho. But in the terms of equality, microphone and gesho are all the same, no discrimination. And then simultaneously, you have to live in a dualistic world, alright? Concretely speaking, I can tell you this way. This is, for instance, human beings cannot, human being lives in the, I say, dualistic world, means subject and circumstances, alright? Without circumstances, you cannot live. So when you do get sure, this is your circumstances in a sense, so object. Get sure becomes the object. Or doesn't become the object. And then you become one with the dozen, at that time, so called samadhi. Or when you become an ocean water, you say swim. Samadhi is swimming in samadhi. At that time, you completely one with, you have to merge with, anyway, water. Your body and your mind should be one with the water. That is the one, peace and harmony. Look at this oneness, right in the middle of swimming. What is the water in your body, mind? What is the one? What is the one? No separation? Can't you live always in no separation? Can't you swim always in no separation? No? If you say no, you cannot swim in samadhi. But actually, you swim in samadhi perfectly. What is the one? with the swimming purpose. Can't you swim in that way perfectly constantly? Broadly speaking, anyway, can't you? Yes or no?
We can't.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's why you swim. You can swim. Everyone, you can swim. If so, the swimming, the perfectly so-called one is or samadhi, what do you mean? What do you mean? What are they? What are they?
The four words.
Four words?
Sure.
Four words. Closely. See, observe closely what they are. Around swimming in samadhi. What are there? What are there? When you swim, when you devote yourself to swim completely, perfectly in samadhi, so called oneness. Just the oneness?
There's all kinds of circumstances.
Yes, all kinds of circumstances there. That means your body.
Water.
Water, sure. Water, your body, your mind, your feelings, and also micro creatures, micro creatures, and the ship, small boat, sky, many, many circumstances there. Okay? But nevertheless, you can swim right in the middle of swimming. It is called oneness, you say oneness, or swimming in samadhi. So that's why I want to ask you, what is a oneness? What is a samadhi? Sure. Anyone?
You use pretty often in total dynamic listening.
Total dynamic working, yes, but in the total dynamic means what?
Animal,
sure. But after you, I want to ask you to say something.
Many different things
are all equal. That's right. Many things there. So oneness is not oneness. Alright? You understand? Oneness is not oneness. But if I say, if you swim in one, in peace, you attach to oneness, completely ignoring many things. You understand? But you should understand oneness, full devotion means a full devotion, but it's not full devotion. It is complete variety of the human being, of the existence. You understand? Sure, that practically, but I am talking about the situation, state of oneness. State of oneness you are plunging into. State of the samadhi you are plunging into. What is the oneness? What is the samadhi? If I say samadhi or oneness, very naturally you keep away from your discriminating world. That's why you will do that then, because you love it. Because you can experience samadhi, quietness. That means what? You completely ignore noisiness and the other people's. You don't feel something. If there are somebody sitting around you and it's really disturbing, But if you want to have a samadhi in peace or harmony, whatever, through zazen, what do you mean? That samadhi is not the one variety of existence. That is called one. Do you understand? That it's not abstract, it's simultaneous there. Because you cannot exist ignoring that situation. But you don't. You always attach this way or that way. That's why it becomes sick. That means sickness. I mentioned during the training and they mentioned oneness of the cause and the effect. You don't believe this one, but actually it is really true. I don't want to explain it today, but same applied to the, that's why I am talking about the oneness. What is the oneness? What is the samadhi? What is the mindfulness? If you really love mindfulness, you always keep away from something, from others, and you try to keep yourself in quiet space. Sure, it is easy. I don't think it is appropriate way. But I don't think, if you come to the dualistic world, it's very difficult to practice samadhi or mindfulness. That's why people don't like it. But if you don't like it, it is already sickness. But you can exist, I don't, anyway, wherever you may go. So you have to be always constantly in the dualistic world. Nevertheless, there is simultaneously full devotion there. The experience of full devotion is there. That is called samadhi. If you don't live in a dualistic world, there is no sense of samadhi. It doesn't make sense. Or nirvana, it doesn't make sense. Mindfulness, it doesn't make sense. So I want to tell you today, please remember this situation. Okay? One point is everyone. No exception. Without exception, everyone becomes sick. From day to day. Whatever you see, even though you see the good, even though you see the bad, anyway, you become sick. In other words, you fall into the pitfall. But you can't always fall into pitfall and stay there. No. Because human beings always want to do something, want to develop constantly. Whoever you are, constantly develop, deepen, enhance yourself. So you want to get out from this. That's all you need, turning the world to awaken. That is different aspect, different expression of the world, different expression of the teaching. If you say this way is right, spiritual peaceful world, everyone rushes into the peaceful world, ignoring this human world, where human beings create a lot of trouble. And then if I say, if I have to tell them, without this world, you can't get the peace, you can't understand the peace. So I say, look at this one. I want to give you a word that way, another way. And then next, people rush into this one. You become sick. That means human focus. And then I have to say, again, you are falling in the pitfall and stay there. Watch out. And then there is a peace. Then everyone get out from this and get right into this. So always sick. This way, that way, this way, and that way. that it was really Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam. That's why I want, first point is you are always safe. Without exception. Anyway, that is a human being. Even though you don't believe yourself in that way, you are safe. It's all you need. Even though you succeed in your business, it's safe. If you fail to be successful in a business, it is sick. So complete beyond succeed or not succeed, you have to constantly anywhere fresh yourself. You have to be refreshing constantly. Because you cannot attach to either one of them. You have to always keep turning the words to awaken you. That makes you refreshing constantly. And second point is you cannot get oneness without discriminating world. Without discriminating world, you cannot get oneness or full devotion or happy world. No. Without happy world or oneness, you cannot live in the dualist world. That is the second point. So where are they? Right there. From day to day, right there. Always there is the two things working together simultaneously. That's why we become pretty easily sick, and trouble is we don't notice it. We don't realize it.
All of a sudden, I was feeling, thinking, that when you ask a question like that, in samadhi, what's present, okay? And then the answer is, the world of discrimination is lots of different things. Somehow it doesn't seem a legitimate question, because once to see world of samadhi or sadhan or something seems to me subjective, completely. Whereas to recognize presence of, you know, other people and blah blah blah, that's pretty well objective. So when you ask, you're sort of asking from two points of view at once. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's like, I don't know exactly. It's one question, but it's not one answer.
Well, of course, with devotion and samadhi and nirvana and enlightenment, all of some very subjective stuff. No one knows. So you have to do it. You have to experience it. You have to you have to have it. So very subjective. But you cannot always keep it in your world. You have to anyway manifest it. That is a form of your life, lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. Your lifestyle always manifests. Without manifestation of your life, you cannot live, you cannot experience peace, or you cannot live in this world. Even though everything is subjective, but simultaneously, subjective world is manifested in objective world. So very naturally, you can manifest. If you have a peace, subjectively, no one knows, but you can manifest. So very naturally, even though you don't say, people know it. If you are very peaceful, people know. So subjectively it's simultaneously object. That's why I asked you. Okay? We have to discuss using the word. Word is object. But that simultaneously objective as a word is implication of the subjective. You excuse me. That's why word is important for us.
Does that mean being the meaning of being a bodhisattva or dealing
with
being a bodhisattva is dealing with the discriminating world and maybe being a Buddha is dealing with that, yes? Being a bodhisattva is dealing with the discriminating world and being a Buddha is dealing with that, yes?
Do we become a bodhisattva with the discriminating?
When we deal with it. When we deal with discriminating.
Your question is, do we become a bodhisattva when you discriminate world? That's what you mean?
No.
Difference between Buddha and bodhisattva. Analogy with dealing with words.
I was thinking of that person. Yeah, he was talking about dealing with all these circumstances instead of just, you know, the subjective world. So that was me and Bodhisattva dealing with all these
circumstances. When we are dealing with the circumstances that the bodhisattva always, that's the key. Okay.
And when we certainly just become Buddha, we become Buddha, and when we get out from our Zazen seat, then we become a bodhisattva.
Sure. Because also whether you know or not, anyway, you're bodhisattva, you're Buddha. For instance, you know, the stream becomes muddy. Okay? When the rain, if you have a lot of rain, the stream becomes muddy. But on the other end, after rains, then the stream works itself to clear. Even though you try not, or even though you try, complete beyond you try or you try not. Anyway, the stream works itself clear. Means before, even though you do that then or you don't do that then, anyway, you are great stream is working itself clear. Means you are living in the huge world. Bodhisattva's world, Buddha's world, anyway. And then everything that they work, say, self, clear and peaceful and harmonious, arranged. Okay? So from this point, everyone is Buddha.
So, you say we need the dualistic world to attain oneness or purity, and vice versa, but if you are too attached to the dualistic world, you become sick.
Dualistic world is already the world you live in, God is all, whether you are conscious of it or not. Animals, very natural state of existence. So natural things must be something we share, deal with natural. But if I say so, very naturally, that day you are attached to the natural. You understand? Natural. You are attached to concept of natural. So at that time you become sick. So called naturalism. Right? So reality is not something conceptualized by any term, natural or needs of a duality or need of a dichotomy, no concept. Reality is always very pure, clean. Where are you living constantly? That's why you live in the dualistic world, but you cannot say dualistic because you can manifest something more than dualistic world. There is a duality, dualistic world. But if I say you live already in the dualistic world, you say, why not? Why not living there? It's wrong, or it is already sickness. The reality is you live in, dualistically, is something more than the concept of duality or not duality. Okay? So this is a reality you live in from day to day. So that's why you have to, if you attach it to a duality, you become sick. And if I say it is natural, so you should deal with it as natural as you can, you immediately attach to naturalism. And then you become sick. And then you see you try to find something else more than naturalism. And that is a regulation, rules, and etc. And then you become sick of it. Right? I don't know how often you have to be sick, anyway. But human beings are always sick. Going this way, that way, going that way, always sick. I don't know how often you have to go pass through this sickness. Okay? I don't know how often you have to pass through that bridge, so-called sickness. I don't know. But, in a sense, pretty good. Because this, through this suffering, you can understand pretty deep for human life. Accepting others, accepting the birds and trees and the weather.
You're talking about using form to manifest something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning to use form as a means of full devotion and to samadhi.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean to use form?
Yeah, I think if you use the form and you have to deal with the form with full devotion and sincere heart, something like that. Okay? And then the form gives you, or to say, lots of instruction. And then from form, you have dealt with, makes you successful in doing something, right in the middle of form. So actually, there is no particular form what makes you succeed in doing something before you do. Okay? No, nothing. Form is very free. Business, for instance, bakery, then they're dealing in San Francisco. And then everyone from really attached to the bakery. And the newspapers, like published by the Naropa Institute, And it's successful in a sense, so everyone likes it. Attached to it means that type of newspaper is kind of successful form. We are already attached to that. But I don't think so. Newspaper, any object is completely free from you. Or success and failure free. Point A. How do you deal with object? With sincere heart or not with a sincere heart? And then the situation is completely different. You understand? So if you want to be successful in doing something, whatever, all you have to do is anyway face the object at the emptiness, free. And then deal with anyway your object exactly with your heart. Okay? Face all that. And then, very naturally, the concept of success, success and failure becomes up anyway. You understand?
It seems like if you have a form and you become attached to it, then it's no longer full of devotion.
No. Cricket form.
So, you could, I mean, pretty well, as I'm describing, draw a picture of a sickness, and there's lots of talk to avoid it, but can you make a statement about wellness?
Wellness?
Right, right, being well.
Being well means being peaceful?
Well, not being sick.
Or being, being well. I see. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been talking a long time about that, but can you say something?
Being well.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about?
Being aware that I'm sick.
Huh? Sure, that's pretty good. That's the wellness. Sure, because you are already sick. You think so?
Okay.
So how can you get so well? You're already sick. Do you understand?
Well, I think so. That's what I'm asking you.
Sure, that's why wellness is comes into existence right in the middle of sick because you are already sick.
So there's no particular place. It's movement, sort of movement.
Of course, mm-hmm. Because you know what?
Do
you know why you have to always swim in the ocean, or you have to be very active and practice and practical? You know, in other words, you have to live in the motion every day without being stopped. You know what? No mind. Okay. No.
No, I thought that was why. What you say, I thought that's why. We have, because you know, if we're in any place, you said automatically we're sick one side, so we go to the left side of the road too far and we go to the right side, so stay down the middle. So.
No middle. Well, sickness is, you should remember this when you are already sick. Without exception, okay, everyone, even though you become a president of the United States, even though you attain enlightenment and become a saint, it's still sick, okay? Remember this. Buddha, even though you become a Buddha, that is a sick. That's what Buddha suffered, right? So, no exception. So you are sick. What do you mean? Can you see that somewhere you can escape from sickness? Or can you see the some space you can gain from now so close to sickness? Can you? same?
No.
Because you're already. If so, what do you think about sickness? It is a kind of a what? How do you understand sickness? That's terrible? You think that? I want to make sure. Are you sure?
Sure.
Huh?
Sure.
Sure, huh? No. How about the other? Say something about that. How do you accept sickness?
Don't take it too seriously.
Don't take it seriously. Pretty practical. Mm-hmm. Well, the, you know, the, you can, well, the, I don't know. The, what you say that I want to ask you, you say you shouldn't take a sickness so serious.
Because then that's all you are.
Huh?
You just identify with being sick, then you're just sick.
Mm-hmm. You're just sick. That means what kind of sick you are?
Attached.
Mm-hmm. If you don't attach, sickness is what? What kind of sick?
It's something.
Mm-hmm. So if so, sickness is, sickness comes up by when? In what situation? In what situation sickness comes up? Attachment?
Selfishness.
If so, what kind of sickness? Sickness is something terrible, or sickness is something a ghost?
Sickness
of mind. So that's the yes.
Sickness is how it works. How you work.
I want you to. What I want. What kind of a sickness? That sickness is a kind of avocado seed.
No.
Avocado seed. Fixed to be.
Temporary.
Why? How do you know why? How do you know the why the sickness is a temporary? Not temporary because you already sick. It's not temporal.
Changes.
Sure. Changes. Pretty good.
No substance.
That means, you know, no substance means from where sickness comes.
Definitely.
No.
From thinking.
It's the wrong kind of
suffering.
Any kind of suffering and any kind of sickness, so from where it comes. I mean, the from where. It comes.
It's all coming. All types of beings are sick.
Do you understand my question?
Ignorance.
Yes. What?
It's just always coming up. Not coming from somewhere, sometimes.
Right. Right. That means, is there a beginning of sickness?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, what is that? What is that? What would you call?
Beginningless,
and endless. Remember, you are already sick, okay? But sickness is beginningless, endless. Meaning, so you are just right in the middle of a huge ocean. Can you escape?
Mm.
No way. Can you take it easy? No way. Can you take it hard? No way. You understand? It's a beginning that's endless. Can you see the some new word in the hope? Can you?
No way.
Or can you throw away hope?
No way.
Pretty nice, you know? That is the nature of the second. So all you have to do is right in the middle of the ocean and deal with it. That's it. Do you understand? Good. That is called wellness. Right. Did
you say that enlightenment is acknowledging or being aware of the sickness?
Yeah, in a sense. Yes.
What do you mean in a sense?
Well, the awareness is still, because awareness is still the something not that you the you should aware at the conscious level. Awareness is something you can experience at the conscious level, but simultaneously you have to polish awareness more until no trace of awareness, means until awareness penetrates your skin, muscle, and bone. Until it is digested completely, become of both blood and energy, and you are right. Okay? That is called enlightenment. Alright?
But enlightenment, even though you digested it, you still have the sickness.
Oh, yes. You are still sickness, so called enlightenment. Okay? Enlightenment of sickness. Sickness of enlightenment. Right? So still you have to do something right in the middle of enlightenment. Do you understand? So if you awaken to something, that's one wonderful awareness. That is called enlightenment. But there is still something you have to do right in the middle of experience world of awareness. Right? Means you still practice and you until it is completely digested. Right? So you should chew it. You should eat it.
Completely digested and still practice.
Yeah, still, because it's become our energy. You cannot stop the life. It's good. Just like spring water gushing out of the ground. That means, for instance, if you command respect from the people, well, then naturally you cannot stop living, you cannot stop polishing yourself, you cannot stop deepening your life, because people respect you. If people respect you, very naturally you have to respect yourself. So very naturally it's harsh. So life is coming, going. Do you understand?
You mentioned earlier about how we attach to a project which is successful. And you said the way to deal with that, but I didn't hear it completely, is to put the project in emptiness and then do it with sincere heart.
Yeah. That is later that concept of success come out. But actually in the beginning there is nothing which is called success or failure. No. But we expect something, okay? Because people show examples for us, you know? And then we say, if do doesn't, and then doesn't make you attain enlightenment, so you have something is wonderful. Do you understand? And then you expect the so-called success, in the enlightenment, but no success. Complete enlightenment. So Zazen is Zazen. How do you deal with the Zazen? It really depends on you. Right? That's why Dogen Zen says in a record of seeing a earth, don't discuss about how deep a teaching is or not, but you should pay attention to the degree of how intention you have. Yeah, how much you can devote yourself to. That is a sincere heart. It's a really different world comes up, you understand? Every day, it really make a big gap. If you live for 10 years, you know, two persons, anyway, here, one person deal with, Zazen with sincere heart, this person deal Zazen with not sincere heart, okay? But both of them dealing the same thing. But when you deal with this Zazen for 10 years, both of them complete different world create and complete big gap between two. You understand that one? That's why it really depends on you. It's not teaching. It's not teaching. It depends on your sincere heart. You know the story, the Zenbon. It is a story, it's an interesting story. The, 2 months of the traveled, and then on the way they came across a dog, bulldog, with bark at them, very fiercely. And then 1 month and they started to chant, in order to destroy that evil situation. And then he constantly is chanting, special chanting. But the dog didn't stop barking at him. So the other monk says, well, that is your way to stop the barking and stop the dog barking. He said, yes, this is my way because Buddha says and the sutra says, but how about you? He said, the bird taking, took out the piece of bread and gave it. And Buddha stopped barking. So we are always becoming crazy about the teaching because teaching gives us wonderful example and wonderful peaceful world in the image of the peaceful world, so the Bodhisattva itself. And then we are really attached to it. But actually there is nothing. Absolutely nothing. It depends on you how to deal with that teaching.